This is the world broadcast of Imam Warif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to human dignity and justice. Now, Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawmiddin Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in Ihdina Assirata Al-Mustaqim Assirata Al-Ladhina Na'imta Alayhim Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdallin Ameen. We greet our honorable radio audience today with the greetings of all the prophets from Abraham to Muhammad, the greetings of peace, and the Quran in Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem.
That he have made this man a responsible creature and have given to him the utility of whatever's in the skies, whatever's in the earth. Huh?
Here I am, crying the blues because the utility company is making me pay too much for my income. Well, look, use your imagination. Think yourself out of that situation. Yeah, they got the utility, they got the electricity, they got the gas out there. And God said, look up there. All up there, I made that utility for you. And all down here in the earth, I made a utility for you. Keep that kind of mind in yourself. Pass it on to your children, and pretty soon we'll be head of the utility company. See, our religion says very much many of the great things that are said in other religions, especially Christianity. As a man thinketh, so is he. You think small, you stay small. The interest has to be there. And the best way to get interest in the people is to tell them the wonderful things that God has said about them and their personal worth. Give the people a knowledge of what God has revealed concerning them and their personal worth. And they will be motivated. They will have an interest. Behind an interest, there should come health. Now, we begin by talking about the environment. Now, you look at the plants that grow, and you take a dead seed, right? Dead seed, and you put it in the earth. But if you put moisture there, which is the life that is absent from the seed, when it was in its fruit or in its living body, it had moisture. But in time, it lost its moisture and dried out, became dead. So you put it back into the earth, the womb that is intended for it, and make sure the environment is suitable for it. A healthy mother. A healthy mother. And bring back the life that is missing, the water. And when everything is there again, that was needed for its life before, it becomes alive again. Huh? It becomes alive again. And having the right environment makes possible the interest. Now, I'm speaking philosophically. The dead stone gets an interest. Say, hell, I got everything I had before. Hey, this is wonderful. And it just opens up. It just opens up to what's around it, and it embraces the moisture. And hey, come on in. Come on in, baby. I've been missing you for a long time. And it begins to swell, and after a while, it's showing life and movement. Say, hey, that's an interesting garden there. But you go to one of these neighborhoods, and you don't see no stores operating. No stores operating. No homes looking like they're cared for. Neglect in the streets and neglect in the home. Hey, ain't no interest here. But when you come and see things happening and happening in a pattern, you know, many times there's a lot happening in our life, but it's not happening in any pattern. You know, we be bouncing up and down and, oh, baby, you know, and carrying on.
But we look at you the next time and you sleep. And you don't have no particular time to go to sleep. You sleep anytime. And you don't have any particular time to say, hey, baby, you're doing it at midday, nighttime, anytime. You just get up and, oh, it's a... And they can't tell, nothing is regulated. You don't have anything regulated. You may go get a hot dog at 3 o'clock at night. Yeah, ain't nothing regulated, you know. You turn the TV off when all the TV's supposed to be off. Nothing regulated. You go look for a girl when you're supposed to be looking for a job. Ain't nothing regulated. So a lot is happening, but no pattern. So that's destruction. Huh? That's destruction. When things are happening, a lot is happening in your life, but no pattern, that's destruction. That's the activity of destruction in your life. So there's something else required after the interest. After the interest, there must be health. Health. If we don't keep the environment healthy, the diseases, the poisons, may kill the thing that's trying to come to its fruition. But if we can provide a healthy environment, then it's safe. Now, most of us think of healthy first as disease, you know, healthy. They don't have a cold, don't have AIDS, don't have syphilis, so I'm healthy. But when we talk about healthy, we're using it very generally. We're using it in a very broad sense. If your brain has been made to think function, to think function. By that I mean, what is my function? What is my function in this circumstance? How should I behave? By function I mean proper behavior. Proper behavior. Directed behavior. Okay, so if you are not thinking in terms of function, if you are not thinking in terms of directed behavior, then you are thinking in a diseased way. Your thinking is unhealthy for you. And so many of us, we are just tricked into thinking outside of our function. Many of us may come to the masjid. The masjid, we call it mosque function. But many of us who come in the masjid, we're coming here like zombies.
Yes. That's right.
Like wind-up toys. Right. And we walk in the door, we just walk in mechanically and sit down like a zombie.
That's right.
And everything happened, the great wisdom of Quran was given. Great light, the sun shined bright on the audience. But we walk out a dead mushroom. Eh? That's because we are unaware that this is a system. And this system is offering me knowledge to make me aware that my life must function upon a system. That there's a system for it. There's direction for it. There's proper and improper behavior. We sit there and we look at each other and not aware that we are being improper in our own emotions. Have a bad emotion in a mosque. While the wisdom, the knowledge of God is being imparted, we sit there and look at a brother or sister and let personal jealousy come up, personal envy come up, let criticism come up, and take your mind off of the khutbah and start dwelling on that person, looking for negative in that person. She don't look right. He don't look right. So you walk out and you miss the function. So your part there, your activity was disease instead of health. So we have to have a sense of proper behavior, a sense of right function, and create in our own environment those things that support that and fight those things that tear down that. Move out the things that interfere with intelligent thought and add to your environment those things that support intelligent thought. Don't encourage even pleasure to extreme, because pleasure to extreme will make you foolish.
Right.
that is given to us for our possible future, the possible destiny of man, his id, right? In this psychology of this world, they look at the id and they say, oh yes, well that's the first possibility for him, and out of it must develop everything. But the id becomes idiot. Because he gives himself to extremes that burn out his senses. So we can't get around it. We have to have interest and have to have a sense of proper life, proper behavior, and that's healthy. But without a sense of purpose, we'll be cut off from our great destiny. A sense of purpose. And God has said he had created us for excellence, created us to be rulers, but he also said he created us to be a community. You are the best community, raised up for the good of all people. And the prophet has said, peace and the blessing be upon him. The most useful of you is the most useful to the society. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Get it unless you keep Allah as the dominant influence in your life and keep your religion before your eyes. Keep the religion in your focus until it becomes automatic for you. That if anybody brings something in conflict with that, it becomes automatic for you to turn away and resist it or fight it away. We are not in the shape we are in of our own choosing. This world has gradually conditioned us to be what we are now. So we have to make a stand, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and we accept all this religion, the four disciplines of this religion, and then we give conscious attention, make conscious effort all the time, because that is the principle of Muslim life. The Muslim can't go about haphazardly in the world. We can't do things without a purpose. Even if we are going to pray, we have to announce our intention. We can't do it just automatically. No, everything we do, the conscience has to be connected with it. We can't even make wudu without consciously saying, I'm going to make wudu now. Isn't that an obligation? And we can't pray until we say, I'm directing myself to the Kaaba, praying so many rak'ahs, obligatory, etc., for Allah. Is that right? It has to be conscious. And there are some holy people, saints among the Muslims, who say that the Muslim should not do anything without Bismillah. Without Bismillah. Now we know what that means. It means that you should be always conscious of Allah, that He gives the results. And that he will have to answer to him for everything. Dear beloved Muslims, if we understand that the functional wholeness of life includes body, mind, and spirit, and also needs a rational context for it, then we can appreciate this religion. This world tells us, they know too, they say, yes, that is true, that's central in Christianity, that man is body, mind, and spirit, and he must function as such. But they don't preserve intelligence for that. They don't order an intelligent life for that. They tell us all, you're on your own. Say, okay, you got that? Say, yes, we got that. Body, mind, and spirit. You're on your own. So the members of the family, they may be 8, 10, 5, or whatever, In one family, you see so many different orientations. In one family, you will see the dominance of different spirits. Brother Joe, he's dominated by one spirit. Ralph, he's dominated by another spirit. Jeanette, she's dominated by still another spirit. So the whole family is all that different. Allah created them looking pretty much alike. But they have selected spirits to give themselves to from the world that have made them look greatly different. Oh, they can't get along with each other? Say, do you go out with your sister sometimes? No, we can't stand each other. They say that. Say, no, we can't stand each other. I got a friend down the street. Or maybe across the city. Have to go all the way to the west side from the far south side to get their associate. They had to go that far to find a similar spirit. And all it takes is la ilaha illallah. And if that dominates in the Muslim, when he meets his brother from China, from Asia, from Africa, no matter where he comes from, right away there's a mutuality there. There's a sociable link there, as well as a spiritual link. Everything is there, and he feels so comfortable with his brother, with his Muslim brother. Now, if the family can practice their religion, let all of us brothers and sisters in our home, let us practice our religion. Even if the family is a mixed family, where on religious-wise, maybe a Christian and a Muslim living together. The Muslim is obligated to live that Muslim life. I don't care whether the Christian is there now. Don't let the Christian make you live his life or her life. You have to live the Muslim life. And you'll see if you live it, you will influence the Christian, because his medicine is not as powerful as ours. No, indeed. You will influence the Christian, and the Christian will begin to conform to your life. The Christian will say, well, heck, I don't have a life mode anyway. See, all they told me was to trust Jesus and to love Jesus and to confess him, and everything would be okay. Say, but this Muslim has some consistency about him. I think I like this. So you will find the Christian getting into your consistency. Following you in your consistent kind of behavior and your consistent kind of spirit. And the Christian will be looking like a Muslim. And they will come there and say, you're a Muslim too, aren't you? He said, no, I'm a Baptist. Say, oh, you all look just alike. Yes, you will find that the consistency of the Muslim life, if you live it, is stronger than anything else. So, dear beloved Muslim, let us hold on to this. And let us remember that we are not here to do small things. We are here to do big things. Allah hasn't limited us, not in our human potential. He has given us the full range of that potential. The Muslim doesn't have to stop short of academics. He can go on and become the scholar and lead the scholarly disciplines. He doesn't have to stop short of economics, commerce, business, trade, etc. Allah has opened every dimension to the Muslim. And Allah has given the Muslim the best security and the best basis for relating to those things and sustaining himself, surviving the challenge of those things, and bringing them to greater and greater dimensions of progress. This is what Allah has given the Muslim. We don't have to stop short of politics. No, we want to get involved in politics. This is a free country. I have read where President of the United States acknowledged the dignity and the value and worth of our religion in this country. President put his signature on it, acknowledging the Muslim life and the Muslim religion. Nothing in the Constitution of these United States that outlaw a Muslim, outlaw al-Islam, no. Nothing in the Constitution of the United States is any grounds for anyone saying a Muslim can't be president of these United States. No. We know, we have seen in the recent years a Catholic become president of the United States. Look how long it took. Oh, this country wasn't ready for a Catholic to be president. Not for a very long, long time. It's just very recent in the history of the United States that a Catholic, a known Catholic, became president. Because this is basically a Protestant environment, a Protestant society. The Catholic did not have a chance. But they couldn't keep him out on any legal grounds. So when he got the support, they had to let him in. Now we know Kissinger, that Jew, was very close to becoming president of these United States. Yes, all of us look toward today when a black man will be president of the United States. You know it's moving in that direction, maybe even a woman. Maybe a woman before a black, as it usually happens. We don't know. So I'm telling you that we should not dismiss the possibility of a Muslim becoming president of these United States. And I think as long as we're going to identify with this nation and identify with the opportunities that this nation holds for people, for its citizens, and I'm not talking about religious opportunity. It doesn't hold no religious opportunity for a citizen. You have to choose your own religion. This is not part of American society, American government, to choose your religion. That's your individual obligation to choose your own religion. So I'm not talking about those possibilities. I'm talking about the opportunities to influence the direction of this nation. That's what freedom means in this country, doesn't it? It means the opportunity to get involved and compete with people to influence the destiny of this nation. That's what citizenship opportunity means in this country. It doesn't mean choosing your religion. It doesn't mean even choosing your party, your Democratic or your political party. It doesn't even mean that. Opportunity in this country means the right to influence the destiny of this country. That's what it means. So let us forget about everything else and not look to this country to tell us who is Allah. Our Quran tells us who is Allah. And don't look to this country to tell you how long to wear your dress. Allah sent Prophet Muhammad to tell us those things. So know what you are to depend on this country for, and know what you are not to depend on this country for. And you only depend on this country for protection under its laws. That's all you depend on it for. Protection under its laws and the opportunity to grow just like anybody else and become an influence in this country's life that will become so great that you replace everybody else. Now, what's wrong with that? They have been replacing each other, haven't they? The Irish replaced this one, the Greek replaced that one, the Frenchman replaced that one. They have been replacing each other, so we have to get in the race. The race for the position to influence the destiny of our society, not the race for color. See, you're missing out on the big race. The white man, he's fighting the big war, and he's making the big race. And you here caught up in skin color. That's your race. My race is no more skin color. My race is the position to influence the destiny of the country. That's my race. I want to get in the position to influence the destiny of this country. Why? Why? You small you want to do that? Because I think small me with my big religion can do a better job than they are doing. And when any of us feel that we can do a better job, shouldn't we step forward? Yes, we should step forward. And this is the land of opportunity in that respect. Praise be to Allah. So, dear beloved Muslims, watch your associations. You know, the human heart is so good, so filled with sentiments. Sentiments of love and sentiments of care and concern. That before you know it, a devil done smiled you into his arms. Watch your relationships. Do not let yourself be exposed to enemy influences. Don't think that this country is all safe for Muslims. This country is not safe for Muslims. This country is very perilous for Muslims. Yes, it is not safe for Muslims. So the moment you wake up, you start collecting your senses and start getting ready to fight something off. I don't care if you live in the room by yourself. Right away, realize that you're in danger as soon as you open your eyes. and thank Allah that you managed to rest and not be killed. Open your eyes. I'm in danger now. I'm living in this apartment by myself. Nobody's for 50 miles. Now, you know how much concern you have to be if you're living with non-Muslims or living with Muslims who are not Muslims in their hearts. Praise be to Allah. So we are going to make it. We're going to make it each and every day. We're going to progress each and every day because this religion guarantees it for us. Not because we are no special people. We are no special people. This religion is a special religion. And if we live it, it guarantees progress to us. And that's a fact. And if we are in any way special, it's because of the favor that this religion has bestowed on us. That's true. Oh, yes. It has brought out sensitivities. It has brought out the best aspirations in us. It has fed the best motives in us. And if we are beautiful, it's because this religious environment is feeding us. It's because something of the Quran has touched us. Or it's because something good from some source has touched us. Oh, yes. And if we want to stay like that, we have to keep the bad things from touching us. So ward them off. Know your identity and know that nothing is more precious to you or for you than the Muslim life. Don't let nothing challenge it, take it away from you. Don't let anything weaken it. Don't bargain it off. Say, well, I want to impress this person. So if they ask me this, I'm going to say no. I'm not going to let them see that part of my religion. Then you're starting to bargain away your religion, right? Right now, you're getting ready to bargain away your religion. No. Say, Allah, if I disobey you, I may gain something temporarily. I may pick up this, but I know I'm going to lose much more. That's true. Yeah, certainly. You can bargain away some of your religion and hide some of your religion so that you can enter into a relationship or a friendship or even a situation that may be profitable for you, materially speaking or otherwise. But in bargaining away that portion of your religion or that portion of your obedience to Allah, believe me, you're going to lose much more than you gain in that bargain. Oh, yes. So if you can understand that and really believe that and know that and accept it in your heart, then you'll have the courage that you need in order to win the admiration of people. Don't you know if Muslims be courageous in their stand for what their life is, don't you know that they win the admiration of the people? Oh, yes. You will win the admiration of the people. I'm not talking about no silly, fanatical idea. You're not going to win the admiration of the people if you go to them as a silly fanatic. But if you do what is intelligent, if you follow the intelligent direction in this religion, and you do and practice what this religion clearly established for you, you will gain the admiration of the people. Look at your imam. Is the world laughing at your imam? No, your imam is well respected, thanks to Allah. Not to me, it's the credit of the religion. Credit goes to the religion. But thanks to Allah, your imam is well respected in Christian circles. Wherever I go, greatest respect.
You've been listening to Imam Warth Deen Muhammad. Tune in next week at the same time and station for the world broadcast of Imam Warth Deen Muhammad Speaks, produced by the American Muslim Mission.